Three, two, one. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
You roped me in. You got me in here.
I'm air cheersing you.
Cheers.
Cheers with our
DeSante.
Dasani. Yeah, there's no T. Dasani. DeSante.
I love it.
But I have blood orange. What do you got?
I have lime.
Mm.
It's delicious.
Do you have a favorite?
No, I don't. I love Pellegrino. I fell in love with it.
It's expensive though, right?
What is it?
Expensive? Well,
not really.
No expense is too much for...
Well, in Lebanon, when I started loving it, it's so expensive there. It's like a luxury over there.
It is.
And they one bottle or one can of this would be probably like $10 on the, you know, on the vending or street. And so coming home, I'm like, this is dirt cheap here.
Well,
love
that's
it.
So they're over at Fresh Market, they have a sparkling water that looks just like Pellegrino.
Yeah.
The design is the same, but it's not. Hmm. And I've bought it and I've drank it and I thought it was
just as good.
Yeah. I mean, I couldn't really tell the difference.
Sometimes I can't tell the difference because I add lime to mine, you know, or I'll add some lemon or a splash.
And coconut.
Yeah.
Do you actually put lime or lemon?
I do. Oh, lemon.
Yeah, I was going to say, not many people do lime.
But in Mexico,
okay.
the lime is lemon, right?
Well, and I think that's in your cerveza.
Oh.
When I lived in San Diego, we used to go down to Tijuana.
Yeah.
There was a bar down there called Iguanas.
Okay.
And you could not buy Corona in Mexico. The only thing that you, only beer you could buy, I'm sure there was a few, but the main one that you could buy was the one in the red can. It's so stupid. I knew, you know what? I knew when I started to say that, I was going to forget the name of the stupid
beer.
Well,
that red can one.
Yeah, I think it's Tecate. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Tecate. And they'd serve it to you with the lime squeezed on top of the can.
Yeah.
And I guess that little reservoir is for the fruit.
Oh.
And then when you drink it,
it makes it so much better.
It was delicious.
No, but my point was in Mexico, they were saying that they don't have, we'd ask for lemons and they brought us limes and they said lemon was a lime.
It's like, this is a green lime. I mean, a green lemon.
I said, okay, just bring me it.
So real quick, do you want to identify yourself?
My name is Heidi Hello.
Hello, Heidi Hello.
Hello.
What are you doing here?
You're my best friend, and you were so awesome to bring me in to get a haircut as my desperate pleas as I texted you that it was important to my life to have a haircut by my friend, Tom.
Best friend. Well, I appreciate you saying that I'm your best friend, and you are one of my best friends, and I was going to even talk about that. You know, I've been here 22 years. We've probably been friends. I know we've been friends since 99, so we've almost been friends 20 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, you bebop along in life, but you always have like these rocks, you know, like, I don't know what's going on, but if, you know, anytime I see you or Bashara, I always just know it's like we can just pick up where we left off,
exactly.
Whether it was a year ago or a day ago.
Right.
So I just want to say, I appreciate, you know, our friendship and I appreciate you using me to have me cut your hair and I appreciate you coming on my podcast.
I appreciate you inviting me.
And we're not going to talk about haircuts on the podcast. We're going to talk about... Do I look pumped up? Do I look a little more chiseled than the last time you saw me?
You are an inspiration as I see your posts, and you're always running and running and running. And
I feel like I need to.
I can't do it anymore.
I feel like about 4 years ago, I was running about four or five times a week.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm kind of hanging on the coattails of 4 years ago, because I'm going to tell you, I'm not running that much anymore. I hurt my foot.
Yeah, running can do it to you, and I see a lot of injuries like that at the gym where people run. They love running, but it just can cause a lot of, as we get older, which we were talking about before, we're really not getting older. It's just a number, and we get shocked sometimes when we see that number because we feel great. But you have to kind of realize sometimes if you're doing an activity that really bothers you a lot to, like, you know, maybe find another activity that makes you feel good.
Well, you know how I heard it was running in the snow.
Yeah, I think you told me once you were out running out there in this, like, big, I don't know if it was a small Delaware blizzard, which was a couple inches, but...
Well, I won't go really too far into it, but I had bought a new pair of shoes, the right shoe, for some reason. What is this nugget, this bone that sticks out of the side of your foot? Your ankle bone, I guess.
Yeah.
Let's call it that. It was the right shoe was digging into that.
Yeah.
And... I was favoring the left foot because of that. Mm-hmm. And in the snow, I just hurt my arch. And it's not because of overrunning. It was because of that. It was a shoe, snow.
And they can do it.
Combination, yeah. that hurt my arch.
Yeah. And that lasts a long time. And usually takes a long time to recover.
It did last a long time. And it's gone now. And I'm starting to run again. But there's a couple things that I've learned, or I had learned through this process, is that I was running, you know, 25 miles a week. Because when I run 5 miles. You know, I'm not a...
Which is good.
Not 50-mile guy. Just simple 5 miles. But when I ran 20, 25 miles a week, it allowed me to eat like shit. And when I hurt my foot and I wasn't able to run that much, I had to take a hard look at my eating.
Yeah.
So let's just transition into that. So you own a gym.
I do.
And it's called...
Flex World Fitness. And I was just counting because I knew you would ask me how long, and it's been 10 years that we've been in business.
So yeah. we kind of jumped into, because you didn't own a small business before that.
No, I actually have no business experience whatsoever.
So that's kind of a fun story. I don't want to forget the other story real quick.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great story. Now I'm debating on going to... What I was going to say is, so how many people... So you're in the business of getting people looking great.
Trying.
How many people, like me, work out to eat like shit?
Well, it's a...
I guess you don't want to take everyone's inventory, but...
No, it's true. I think diet... Like, I know we know that the common things we always say, diet is more important than your exercise. Exercise makes you feel great about yourself and gets all that good serotonin and dopamine flowing. But I see people just, like, sabotage their whole... You know, just their whole fitness plan just by eating out too much or just eating the wrong things or just maybe lack of knowledge. So my goal is always, you know, being in Georgetown, I'm not saying it's like the underserved area, but it's a little bit far away to the Lewis crowd.
Right.
It's way out there. It takes 20 minutes or so to get there. But they just don't have a little lack of knowledge about diet and exercise. So bringing it to that area kind of made me feel really like I could really share my knowledge. As I was a nurse for 15 years.
And yeah, that's so, when we met. When we met, you were a nurse.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I think that's what led me, you know, I had the opportunity and that's what led me to this, where I feel like it's a nice, strong connection between nursing is really taking care of people and teaching them the right ways of living or helping guide them in the right direction. So that's where my passion for fitness, which has, you know, been since I was, 5 years old. I remember just playing sports and loving fitness and exercise and hanging out with my mom at all the gyms, and they would let me come in there at a young age, kind of like you do with your with your kids.
Yep.
And so it was always part of my blood, you know? And that's what drives me in business now is just helping people. I really get excited about that.
You know, it's the same thing as I feel is when with hair, you know, I'm allowed to, you know, make people feel better. But the question I was wondering is, do you guys promote nutrition?
We do. And I promote it as much as I can. And my trainers promote it as much as they can, you know, but not all trainers are certified in nutrition. And it's funny, even doctors, you know, they don't even take courses in nutrition, really. Like my husband learned a lot about nutrition just because he had such an interest in it. But, you know, teaching people that, hey, you have diabetes, you need to take care of yourself. Your diet is going to, you know, if you don't watch your diet, it's going to kill you. And you can't just give medicines and all that for it, which modern medicine has helped a lot of people stay alive longer with these terrible diseases. But for the most part, you got to take care of yourself.
Yeah, it's a weird time for me.
It is.
It's very, I don't know if I'm just going through that change of, you know, where you're just, you know, bright-eyed and ready to take on and listen and fall for anything that's said to you, or I'm at that age where I'm like becoming cynical and I'm starting to understand and I'm wondering how does a society allow people to get so sick? I know why. It's because of money.
Money. But, isn't it sad?
But it's the so weird part sad. Is how we stand by on the side and let it happen.
I feel people sometimes, you know, with the added life stresses and, you know, they fall on food. As you mentioned earlier, another person you had spoken to uses food as a kind of a crutch. It makes you feel better. And there's no doubt about it. Like going out to eat and just, you know, it just, what I found is that special like where you go to a birthday party and you have pizza is like a special occasion. Now it's become like every day.
Well, and it's cheap.
It's cheap. And yeah, I'd rather pay an arm and a leg for a great food food.
Yeah, but no, kids don't like clean food. And, you know, that's actually, I don't even want to get into kids because they're a nightmare.
Well, they are a nightmare.
They're a nightmare. And
but they can be trained. They can be trained to, you know, we train them from birth, you know, giving them juice and all that stuff. It's garbage. And now they're saying, oh, you know, don't give them juices. You know, I remember giving my kids juices. I thought that was supposed to be good for them.
I saw in the news on David Muir the other night, he says, it was reported on the news that if you drink 100% fruit juice twice a day, you will die from it.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow, that's not even like, that's a big switch. Remember, we used to wake up with a big glass of orange juice in the morning. Now it's really just a big glass of sugar.
Yeah. And sugar is the, I really strongly believe sugar is the enemy. And if you can honestly give up sugar, you know, your life would be so much better. Your body will react to it in a shocking way at first. It'll be very hard. Like, nothing is easy. And I think Americans like the easy way out of a lot of things. You know, they want this quick fix. You want this quick diet. I want to lose the weight. I don't want to do the work. Exercise is work. You know, I leave my class, I'm like dead.
Yeah.
But I feel great at the same time. I want everyone to feel that.
Well, and I don't know if I told you that I was doing the Just Supper program where I only eat supper now. I don't eat breakfast and I don't eat lunch and I don't eat anything until 7 o'clock in that supper. I'm not going to do that forever. I'm not, you know, insane, but.
And you're still doing it.
I'm still doing
it. And that's been a couple months since I last had a haircut.
11 weeks I've been doing it. And I feel a lot better, and it's not that not only do I physically feel better, but I feel better about what I'm doing. I don't have, like, this guilt and shame kind of thing behind me going, you know, shouldn't have probably eaten that.
Yeah. So,
you know, it's nice.
And we all get that, you know.
What I've learned is that, like, I can eat dinner, get up the next morning, do a five-mile run, go through the whole day, and not be hungry.
You're like intermittent fasting.
It's called back to reality.
Back to reality. Yeah, well, they like to call it the intermittent fasting, but people have said, you know, you have now taken control of your body. Like, you have control.
Well, and food is interesting. So we only eat for two things, to fuel up or store it.
Yes.
I actually think we only eat for one reason, to store it, I think.
Yeah.
I'm not a doctor, but, you know, you're not, you're, when you eat, you're hungry, you know, we store it. I watched a show the other day about how the body uses energy or uses food in two ways. When we eat, we create glucose or we store it as fat.
Exactly.
The glucose is quick
energy.
Energy. That's kind of what gets us moving. If we don't have it, then the body says, oh, and then goes to the fat.
Exactly.
That's the process. And, you know, I'm dumbing it down. Yeah, I'm just dumbing it right down. Because
that's what it needs to be. Is just.
So if you cannot get food, the body says, okay, we can't get food. Let's rely on our reserves.
Yeah.
But what happens with us and what's where I got to, at least, is when I would get hungry, I'd be, oh, I'm hungry. Let me get a sausage, egg, and cheese. Not allowing my body to do the process, which would be like go on to my reserves. If I don't let that happen, I'm never going to eat my fat.
Exactly, yeah.
It's never going to happen.
No, and you keep adding, and people wonder, how did I get this way? And you know what the hardest thing is once you get that way, which I tell my kids, if you're a heavy kid, you're going to have a struggle really all your life. You know, because you have all those fat cells. They don't disappear. They shrink. Mm-hmm. They go big and small. And you know people who yo-yo all around. They lose the weight, maybe for a special occasion, and then they just gain it back again. And then they just go on this roller coaster ride. And they're always going to have a struggle, and then they get depressed. So it just comes down to the basics, you know?
But I think that, you know, when you see like a heavy kid, and look, I don't want anybody to feel bad.
No, just, and I don't either.
But I think that's also what's kind of got us to this point is we just can't say, hey, you're fat.
Exactly.
You can't say it. It breaks their heart. It's just a whole big thing. But, you know, when you see a heavy kid, usually you see a heavy family.
Right.
It's a lifestyle.
And we control what comes in. You know, I can't control my kid. Right? You have them for this certain amount of time in your home. You control what you buy, what's on their plate. Usually the mom or dad is making the dinner. So some people just give up. I think it's easier to throw them in front of something TV and just give them some snacks and they're, yeah, sure they're happy. I'd be, I guess, happy too. But then I think later on, if you do control it, now they're going to look back and say, God, I'm so glad that you did that. I really believe it. I really believe if it's hard now, it's going to be better later because nothing comes easy.
Nothing comes easy. And, you know, you mentioned that my son, you see my pictures, you know, my son, Sam, he turned 8 and his big thing was he wanted to go to the gym.
I love it.
And so we've been going and it's been really great for me because as a 50-year-old man, I just want to go in. I want to lift weights and I want to build muscles and I'm not sure why. And I'm not. And when I said, do I look chiseled? I'm not, you know, but
you look great.
It's been fun to go to the gym. But what we do, you know, I can't take my 50-year-old man workout and put it on my 8-year-old son, you know?
Right.
So we do push-ups. Push-ups suck, right?
But they're the basics.
But they're a big deal. I mean, you can get, this guy said, if you do push-ups, pull-ups, set-ups, and jumping jacks yes. every day, you know, whether Amen. It's 10 or 500, you're going to be ripped.
Yeah. And that's, you know, you don't need every machine in the world. That's the thing. You don't, you know, don't say you don't need a gym because you do definitely need Flex World Fitness.
I mean,
of all the gyms, you need that one. But yeah, we do push-ups every day after spin class. I'm like 25 push-ups, you know, and can't do them now because you're tired. You do them later. And then they text me. I did them. And it makes me feel so like that's the happiest thing for me is when I can inspire the people and they actually do it and they see a difference, whether right. it be little tiny difference, but they feel better. They feel stronger.
Absolutely.
And that's, yeah.
Well, and that's what's going on with Sam and I, and I'm having to revert to a child workout, but it's more healthier for me. Because I'm not like lifting weights and I mean, not that lifting, but for me, you know, I'll overdo it. I always overdo yeah. it. I always end up hurting my shoulders. So it's been fun to kind of do these low impact workouts with balls and these little trampolines yeah. and just
And you're bonding
stuff.
With him. Like, yeah, he's looking at you as like, wow, this is me and my dad are doing this.
But, you know, we always have to flex it out in the parking lot. He's
well, like, of course. Yeah, of course. Dad? Take some selfies and stuff.
It's so fun. I mean, you have how many kids?
3.
Do they all go to the gym?
Well, that's a good, yeah, they go by, some go by force. I have one that's a runner, one that's a soccer player, and another that's a swimmer. Sometimes I have to force them to the gym. They like to do things like on their own. They say they're more free-spirited. They don't like the gym itself. So if I teach a class, they won't take my class, which hurts my feelings, but, you know.
Well, we were talking about this earlier. I do think our kids go through a period where they're just demons. Oh. And it just breaks that bond between us so that they will let them go. Go, you're right. You should go.
Yeah.
Move out, go to college, right. be away.
Come back and like a new person yeah, and then we'll fall in love again.
Yeah, and then one day nice they come time. Back. But if they were angels the whole time, we'd just be like, you know what, just
I never
live
can
here
let
forever.
Them go. I know. I love them to death. And as long as they stay active and I do, I'm a like a food Nazi at home a little bit. I try to bring all the good greens in, and we try to eat salads every day, and I try my best. That's all I can do. The rest, I just, you know, I hope for the best with them.
Well, one of the cool things about doing this just supper, and I had mentioned this on another podcast, is that when I eat supper, I'm really focused on eating something really great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether That's it's your, a steak, yeah. pork chops, chicken, usually something like that, some organic vegetable. But we also make mashed potatoes with a stick of butter because yeah. butter's fuel.
Yeah.
Fat is fuel.
Right.
I watched this guy was saying that in 1961, the United States decided they were going to take on heart disease. The battle was on, and the solution was high carbohydrates, low fat diet. And that now they're like, no, that's wrong. We really.
Can you imagine how many people it affected and how it changed? Because people take what they hear, I mean, almost a little too, you have to really do your research. You have to do your homework.
Well, but the thing that was as annoying is that nobody will admit it now because for the last 50 years, that would make all that they've been saying wrong and make them kind of look like idiots.
Yeah.
And nobody's going to say it. But the fact is that high carb, low fat is not the way to go.
No.
I'm not an expert. I'm just saying.
No, it's true. And sometimes going back to the basics, like you said, push-ups, pull-ups, that thing, same with food, is that, you know, you don't want to eat a ton of butter all the time. Just like, but in the old days, my mom made her own, they made their own butter. They grew their own vegetables. It didn't have all these carcinogenic factors that we worry about today. And, you know, I always say if you're reading the label on something you're eating, it shouldn't have more than 5 ingredients or what the heck are you eating? You know?
So, and listen to this. So what they're saying has happened is that over the last 50 years, we've, you know, we raise animals leaner. or become these, you know, if I serve my kids a steak or a pork chop, they look like surgeons over there just dissecting all the fat off. We've made fat such a bad guy, and now our bodies have forgotten how to eat the fat.
Yeah.
All they know is how to eat the quick.
Yeah.
And until we start, you know, like a what's it called? Ketogenics?
No. Keto diet.
Yeah, when you go into like a ketosis, you almost have to go into a ketosis diet to try to kick that back into gear because it's forgot how to eat the fat. All it does is just wait for more food.
Right. Well, then there's the fat that's bad, you know, from your KFC with the you know, trans fats and the things that we worry about, like those high fat, zero nutritional value foods, which have become a staple. So when I leave the gym, I'm surrounded by a pizza place, a cigarette outlet, a liquor store, KFC, and Taco Bell, like all around us, you know? Mm. So we make jokes because when you come out and there's a smell in the air, it's addictive. I really believe fast food, you know, I can go off on that, but it has an addictive nature, and I know it does. It's the chemicals that are in it that keep you coming. Like you see somebody, you don't have a double cheeseburger, you're out of the Big Mac, you know? Yeah. How could that happen? You know, and life goes on, dude. You can order something else, you know? I need that.
Well, and a lot of that, and that's what I found out with this thing that I've been doing, is that a lot of that is just habit.
Yeah, yeah. And it's hard to break a habit.
You know, it's like food is it's a transition. You know, it takes me from one client to the next client. It's a icebreaker. You know, we could say, yeah, let's meet for lunch. We sit and eat some lunch together just so that we can have a conversation.
Right.
You know, be able to chat over food. You know, it's used for a lot of things other than what it's supposed to be used for, which is fueling our vehicle.
Exactly. And would you put, like, shit in your vehicle?
No.
You know? Heck no.
We treat our cars better than we treat our vehicles.
I mean, when you think of it, if you look at everything, you know, you are what you eat. Another, you know, old saying that, but I always say that every now and then to my class, you are what you eat. What are you? You know, and, like, they'll come back with, like, I'm a Krispy Kreme. You know, I feel terrible. My diet's horrible. I'm like, you know, well, some are a head of broccoli or a head of lettuce. You know, they've been eating well. But what would you be?
What would I be? A steak?
Steak.
Yeah, we eat a lot of steaks.
I'm not going to start on my vegetarian-vegan journey, but...
Are you a vegetarian?
Vegetarian, yeah.
Are you?
10 years.
Look great.
Yeah, thank you.
I mean, I can't be critical of anybody, what they do, because, you know, I've been at the bottom. I've never been to the top. I've been to the bottom and I've been to the middle. It's been a struggle. You know, I can be, you know, just supper. The only reason I do it just supper is because I can't stop snacking at night. So I said, let me put it all together. But last night I had, you know, some Honey Nut Cheerios, which is total shit. Mm-hmm. And I had a Hershey's chocolate bar.
That's your body saying, hey, I need a little something.
The worst part is, I eat a little piece of chocolate with some Honey Nut Cheerios as a snack. And I'm a sugar addict. You know, I can do great all day, but then I fall apart at night. So I'm not perfect, but you know, I feel good.
And you can't deprive yourself of those, like, you know, anytime you're going on a quote unquote diet, I believe you should, if you really crave something, you can look for a healthier version of it, but you needed that chocolate. Your body was asking for it, you know. Yes, you maybe control your portion a little bit, just really
not the whole
bite into
bar.
It and enjoy it instead of just, you know?
Well, I think this is a little embarrassing to say, but I'll put it out there. I think I was eating my chocolate and Cheerios in bed, and this morning there was chocolate on the sheets.
The morning after.
Yeah, it was bad. I'm like, let's wash this shit. Get it out here.
Hey, it's behind you now.
It's done. I'm not going to have it anymore. No more chocolate. I thought it would be a great idea.
It's a learning experience. Today you clean it up a little bit, as long as it doesn't happen every night, Tom, okay?
Have you been to the beach?
Oh, you know, I haven't been to the beach yet this year.
Why? What's the problem?
We built a pool in the backyard, and I go back there. It's my little haven. And I have my flowers, and there's a lot of traffic, and I don't like people.
Mahal.
I just kind of hide back there.
Get away from the gate.
Well, since, you know, they say once you build the pool, the kids are like the first year they're in love with it. Now this year they're all going to the beach. I'm like,
so
you have a pool.
So we can come over to your pool?
Yeah, come on over to the pool.
Do you have a gate pass?
Yes.
Do you? Is it heated?
Yes.
You know, I might take you up on that. We went to we went to Christine's parents' pool. It was freezing.
Yeah.
Like, can't they pay for some heat around here?
I know. It may. First, I thought, we don't need that. And then you can open it in April and, like, you just put the heat on and you're just, like, enjoying it.
Yeah. Well, we also used to go to the country club pool and my parents are members. But I think they're cracking down on that. It's like they're saying, I think a member needs to be present if you're using the pool.
Oh.
My parents are 80, so they're not going to the pool. So I go, well, we'll test it out later into the summer. I don't want to test it out on Memorial Day.
Yeah, the strict rules of wear is all around midsummer.
What?
Let anybody in.
Get out. But I do love a heated pool. What do you heat it for, like, part of the year and then shut the heater down?
You know, it gets, like, we keep it around 86 and... And then the sun kind of heats it up itself, but it usually needs a little. It gets cool in there. Mm-hmm. So 86 is where it hangs out.
Well, we went to the beach Sunday, and I did jump in the ocean. It was 62.
Oh, no heater in there?
No, but I had to wash away winter. You know, I had to kind of... Cleanse. I love the energy of the ocean. I'm a true believer of that energy. And my favorite thing is to do is to get in the ocean with, like, to my shoulders and then let, like, a small wave just pass through me.
Yeah, it is.
And I'm like, goodbye.
Yeah.
I love that. It's so much power. Yeah. And it just passes through you.
And you take some beautiful pictures of the water and the beach, and it's really nice. I have one picture. We did extend part of our house, like, to make a guest room, and I have this picture that Tom took of... Just, it was down at the state park, I believe.
Yeah, it's on the bridge.
Just like, I looked at it when I walked into the salon. I'm like, I want that picture. That's so nice. Like, and you realize this is your area. We live here.
Yeah,
it's so beautiful. So now I'm inspired. I'm going to go to the beach.
Well, that's the bridge I run. I always say, if I woke up on that bridge and looked over the edge, it would be beautiful. But when I run to that bridge, it's beautiful, and I think I can do anything I want to try.
Yeah, I have to take more advantage of the beautiful places that I see in pictures that are right in my backyard.
Well, but the point is that, you know, I had to suffer to get to it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I don't feel like I'm living unless I'm suffering.
Right.
You know,
and the trails are busy, right? People are running, enjoying the trails.
I did run on Sunday, and it was crowded out there. There was a lot of people, which is great.
What I'm excited about is they're extending it to Georgetown.
They're extending it all over the place.
Yeah, so would it be so awesome to ride? I don't feel safe on riding my bike on Route 9, but I would feel safe riding it on the trail. And I know it goes almost up 9 to maybe Steele's Gun Shop or so. Some of my friends rode that far.
Well, I think if there was a train track, it's now a bike trail.
Oh.
Tracks the trails, isn't it?
I don't know.
Yeah, so because I know it goes up by Christine's parents' house, and that's all they've put in, like, crosswalks now.
Okay.
It's all trails.
Oh, that's nice, though. So it's encouraging people to be more active and get out.
I wouldn't be surprised if it doesn't end up all the way up in Wilmington.
Gosh.
Eventually. I've heard people say that there is going to be a trail that you can ride down from Wilmington.
Wow. That would be awesome.
Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah.
I think that was Carper. Tom Carper was behind that.
He's the man.
He was the man. I wanted to do an interview with him, but...
Or maybe Joe Biden.
Do you like Biden?
I do.
You're a Biden fan?
I am.
Okay. I like Biden.
I mean, he looks great for his age. My friend...
Wait a minute. Is he going to be a president?
I know. I just feel like everyone's so... Like, I hope to live to a record age, you know? And I will do everything I can as long as mentally I'm good. But I'm just... I do see so many younger people running. And I would love to see someone a little younger because...
Andrew Yang. I like Andrew Yang.
Yeah?
I like the girl from Hawaii. I thought she was
great. Yes. And Pete Buttigieg is kind of interesting.
Yeah.
But Biden is like 78, I believe. Wow.
Yeah.
That's like my dad is 80, and I just think, wow, what stamina. Because even you have to give it to Trump. I mean, like, he's 70-some.
You know, the weird thing is, I don't hate Trump.
No.
I just wish he didn't do so many dumb things. I just wish he could just... work on some of these projects that he's working on and then just keep his mouth shut. But
yeah, I know. I think that comes with the whole package is that mouth.
Yeah, that's unfortunate because, you know, he could maybe be a better president. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not sure on Biden. I like Joe Biden. In fact, if Joe Biden was running against Trump...
I think that would be probably the only chance there.
Yeah, I would have voted for him. I'm not sure I would vote for him now because I do think that we are getting ready to go into an age with, you know, artificial intelligence and all these different things. You know, I think that what America looks like now is going to change, and I'm not sure a guy like him is c- can take us in. But this into the future, or, you know, into the next 10 years,
I know, it's
15
something
years
to think about.
But a lady told me, she goes, we need Biden. He's the only person that can beat Trump. And I'm like, well,
it's become, beat Trump.
I'm not voting for Biden just to beat Trump. I mean, I really...
Whatever we do, I do feel we need to unite against, you know, there's so many running and some of them, I don't even know half of them. Like, and I think that's going to be their struggle, is just getting a name for themselves, but just to listen to some of their ideas. And I do think there's some of the younger ones have some really innovative ideas, is what we need. A little fresh.
Well, and you know, I like Andrew Yang. I thought he was great. You know, he created this company that helps people build small businesses. And what he found out is that all the businesses that they were building really didn't provide any employment.
Yeah, exactly.
No jobs.
But we're in an innovative age. We really need to pay more attention to what, like, the next chapter, you know?
Exactly.
And I don't like moving backwards, and that's where I think we are now, is this, I don't think this is the America that I want. Sometimes I feel a little sad about where we're heading, you know? I don't like the just say whatever's on your mind. I believe in common courtesy and kindness, and I believe that we're better people than...
I think they should bring the one slap or one punch rule back. Like, if you're allowed to punch somebody one time.
Yeah.
Like, if someone says, you know, especially behavior as people are driving, these...
Oh, my God.
People are getting insane. But, you know, if someone's... You know, I feel like people can say anything because they know there's nothing you can do to them.
Right.
But if, you know, if you said something
there's
that was
rude... There's got to be consequences. Consequences for your actions.
Just, you know, and maybe not in the nose, just on the cheek.
Yeah.
One punch. Oh.
Yeah.
Whoa. What was that
Bring the ruler back. You know, slapping on the, you know, it's true. Like, even kids, you can't say anything to them.
Can't say anything to me.
I don't believe in beating the kids up, but, like, sometimes that little smack on the back of the hand was, like, a eye-opening. I remember a teacher put me out in the hallway, and I'm like, oh, my God, I got to tell my parents. They're going to be so disappointed. And I tell my kids a story, and they're just like, that's silly.
I had to, you know, I've spanked David one time. And when he was younger, he was at actually a daycare. And they used to call me, Mr. Aquino, you're going to need to punish David tonight because he was bad. I'm like, well, you punish him. Why am I taking him home and punish him 4 hours later?
Yeah.
So he did something, and I picked him up, and he's like, I know, no dinner, no TV or something. And I go, no, tonight's different. He's like, what? I go, I'm going to spank you.
Oh.
And he was like, what's that? And I go, and I, bam, bam, bam. He was like, whoa. And I go, now you can go watch TV. And we've never had a problem since.
Oh, my gosh. And it was like you actually prepared him for what was coming.
I let him know what was going down.
Which is even better than just doing it like in the heat. I think doing it in the heat of the moment, that's just interesting, because doing it just abruptly is not going to get the same message as them having to think about what's coming their way.
And I'm not a, you know, look, I believe, you know, don't hurt your children, but,
no,
you know, as
of course
a parent,
not.
You do whatever you do.
Yeah.
I know that I've had to swat my kids a couple times, but I think that's more about the abruptness, the alarm, the, oh my God, what was that?
Right.
You know, putting with that. But David, I actually, you know, that was about the pain. And, you know,
maybe there's two sides of that story, but I do think it's an eye opening. As long as you're not beating your kids, of course, but, they need to learn the lesson that there is respect, you know, and I think some of that has gone to the wayside too, is you always respect your mom and dad, you know, no matter what, you hold your tongue, respect. You might not agree with them all the time, but just show respect and just suck it up a little bit. Just have self-control. And I think that's made my kids better people.
Well, I always say every generation, we're a little bit more soft. You know, we're like, God, I want our kids to be better, have bet more stuff than we did when we were kids. And just, you know, I always say this next generation is being raised by pussies. You know, more pussies.
Right.
And, you know.
My husband, he says always, when I come back in this next life, I want to be my kids, you know, because they've traveled. They've done all these things that we were content just playing in the mud and running around.
I don't know if that's all that great.
I don't think so either.
I don't think it's all that great. I don't think they appreciate it. I don't think that, you know, and I think when they get older, they're not going to.
It's
not
going to
be as big of a deal, and it's just going to be continuously let down. You know, it's got to build.
Yeah,
it's got to build through life. If you live like a king when you're little, reality comes. Unless you know you become a king, you're obviously going to have the shittier side of the stick
right.
at the end.
So they should face adversity, and maybe right. college is where they come back to, yeah, they have to do this for themselves. They have to.
And I get caught up in this. We're going next week to Brooklyn. I'm taking David to see 21 Pilots.
Wow.
My parents would never have taken me to Brooklyn. Yeah. But I'm like, oh, my God.
Or let alone a concert.
He didn't get to go see him last time, and his friends did. Oh, my God. I just feel it's like.
Poor
I,
David.
I'm insane. And David's like, hey, whatever.
Yeah.
I'll go.
I'm cool.
Yeah. I wanted to, before, I said, let's talk about something, important, something that maybe is going on in the gym.
Exactly.
What's going on in the gym? Yeah. We were going to try to promote something.
I know. See, we got so distracted, but it was really nice, our discussion. But, we're trying to, keep people fit and healthy. So we're doing a Get Fit Challenge. It's on June 5th. And basically, you don't prepare much for it. You just try to stay in shape. So some of us have been working out on a regular basis. And one of my trainers, Victor, is going to do amateurs and novices, and then your more athletes that have been working out. And you have to you don't know what the challenge is when you come in. So you might have to do 10 push-ups, maybe try to do a couple pull-ups, maybe run a half a mile around the building, so you won't know what's going to happen, but you can win all kinds of cool prizes. And it's just something to kind of make you want to get fit and get, busy doing some exercise.
Getting ready for the summer.
Yeah, man. So you always have to have something to, it's good to set a goal for yourself. Maybe you want to run a 5K or you want to just do 20 push-ups. So we always start with doing five and then we work up to more. So
I started doing I have to walk a little every once in a while.
Yeah,
so
you're human.
What I started doing is just doing kind of incremental running. And then between each run, I do push-ups.
Yeah.
So I try to do 10 push-ups for every mile. So by the time I'm done, I usually do 50 push-ups.
Yeah.
And that probably sounds pretty pathetic.
Because no.
5 times at 10 push-ups each. But you know what? I did push-ups this morning and I felt a little stronger.
Yeah, and that's how it is. I think doing it that way is even the best way to do it.
Yeah, and I don't know if we... Do we always pay attention to that? I mean, do we... Because I...
Small victories
like
that?
Yeah, because, I'll do a push-up. I'm like, oh, my God, this is so hard. But I wonder if I'm thinking about, how it was before, Do we document that? Do you guys do that? Do you try to keep people, feeling...
They say that a couple statistics, of 80% of people who join a gym for the year, 80% don't go. And which is crazy. And I didn't believe it, but being in business 10 years, that's what happens is people get really motivated and then they just fall off. You see them for a while. And then it's like the January thing has become now mid-January to early February. And then we stop seeing them by March, April. So that's when I actually reach out to some of them if I know that they were coming for a regular basis and then they fell off, make sure they're not injured, make sure that they get back on track, at least help them, encourage them to jump into something. Trying not to let them be a statistic. But also when you walk into a gym, if you're not, you look around, you see all these fit people and you feel like, oh, I'll never get them. I usually don't work so much with the ones that are very fit. They're fine. I look at the ones that, are really in need of help. And it's those small victories that they find, like the push-up thing. We did a push-up challenge, 5 one day, next day is 10, or 2 one day, the next day is 4, the next day is 6, and they felt so good. At the end of the week, they did 10 push-ups.
Sometimes I wonder if when people start a gym for the first time, if they should just be not allowed to go on machines. Almost
I hate
like,
machines. I just don't do any of those.
Yeah, it's like, let's get back to basics. Squats are an interesting topic for me because I love squats, but I hurt my back and I can't do them. So I'm like, well, if I can't do squats, I'm not doing squats. Well, that's not true because now with working out with Sam, we get on that half ball.
The Bosu ball, love.
Yeah, so we get on that and then we balance and we do squats with no weight. My legs, oh my God, are so sore.
Yeah.
And I didn't use any weight and my back feels terrific.
Right. So it is, I think, you've inspired me with this getting back to the basics. I feel like a new thing coming along for us at the gym. That it is more of basics. Can you just do the minimum and then every day just do a little bit more and hold them accountable?
And almost like you can almost have like a 6-month program.
Yeah.
For the first couple months, no weight.
Yeah.
Do push-ups. Yeah. Do them on your knees.
Yeah.
Feel, because it's one of the problems with weights for me is that I know that I'm getting stronger, but I either go from I'm pretty good and then I add weight and then I hurt my shoulder. It's hard to get.
Yeah.
it's hard to recognize the improvements that I'm making because it's done in 2.5, 5, 10
exactly.
increments. You know, if I could add a push-up, you know, like come in, let's say I'm doing 10 push-ups, you know, tomorrow let's do 11.
Yeah.
You know.
And some of those guys, like I do look in the weight room and I see them, they're making noises and they're pumping iron. But if I always invite them into a class of just functional fitness. And some of them cannot touch their toes. Mm-mm. Some of them cannot, you know, do a basic like crunch or sit up, you know, or hold the plank or anything. They're, yes, their shoulders are strong. Usually they have like kind of a softer midsection and core. Mm-hmm. And I think yoga and Pilates and we started a new program, Kundalini Yoga, which is just more of a spiritual mind-body connection. I mean, like that is something in itself, you know?
I'm all about trying some yoga. In fact,
you used to be big into yoga. I remember.
Yeah, we did it. And I, with Eddie Harold and I love Ed Harold. I wish he was still here. He was so, he was such a breathing guy.
I remember you telling me a story of you had to look like in your partner's eyes and you were really close and you were like,
so uncomfortable.
Okay. And you had to say something or whatever without like laughing and, yeah. You know, and it is hard. Like you putting yourself in that situation is funny.
He was so good. Did you know Ed?
I know him from, I think, Quest, I want to say. I think he was a member there way back when that was a gym, but I only from what you mentioned.
Well, and I watched Laird Hamilton on Joe Rogan's podcast and he, you know, he starts talking about a lot of the same shit that Ed Harold would talk about. You know, he's talking about, you know, we're designed as a human to breathe through our nose. And the nose restricts our breathing just enough where it keeps us tough.
Yeah.
And that there's a gas that's released in the nasal passages that when it's taken in with the air through our nose helps our lungs expand and open mm-hmm. up the capillaries. Did you know that?
No. I mean, I didn't realize that
there was gas up there?
I knew there was gas.
You did?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, this was new to me, and I'm like, well, this is great. But he also talks about that we breathe now through our mouth so much is that it's like it's unrestricted, all the air we need, so it's mm-hmm. not making us be...
Work a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. Work for it. And I remember doing this yoga. We would do it with Ed, and we would do the yoga, and then we'd go do the stationary bike, and we would do this, ocean sounds. I call it zombie breathing.
Yeah.
But, you know, you restrict, you know, we'd take, you know, 2 in, 4 out,
yeah.
You know, and this whole thing. And, oh, my God. And I didn't realize, you know, how.
It's work. Yeah. It's work. And it's like it stresses your body a little bit, but it makes you feel like almost more powerful.
Well, and I always say breathing's the great equalizer, you know.
I love my watch tells me to breathe and I follow it, you know, and I stop and I just. In through the nose, out through the mouth. And well, with running, too, with all exercise, if you get your breathing under control, like, you really can do a lot better. It's when we start, like, you get, like, a little out of control.
Exactly.
You just lose it.
Well, and I've there's been times, and maybe you can, you know, testify to this, but I have had periods where, and you hear it all the time, oh, my blood sugar's low. I'm shaky from my blood sugar. I think I just got into like some shallow breathing. I don't think I was breathing enough.
Yeah.
So now if that happens, I take a second, I really take in some air.
And just, you feed your brain some oxygen.
Yeah, and then that shaking goes away.
Yeah.
You know, where before I'd be like, oh, I need a donut.
Yeah. Shallow breathing. It's not flowing through the body, the oxygen. So yeah, you feel like you need a donut. You don't need a donut.
No.
You rarely need a donut.
Don't ever need a donut.
Sometimes a munchkin, because that's not really a donut. It's a tiny, doesn't really count. So the little munchkins are okay on occasion.
Well, I had to go. Yeah, let's not talk about that. So back to breathing. Yeah. So he was a breathing guru, and I just loved all, you know, when because we could be doing a small exercise, but with restricted breathing, and all of a sudden I'd be sweating like I ran a marathon.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize how much, you know, it's like it cools the core,
mm-hmm.
It cools the body, the air coming in. It's just...
It is. It's good for the body to breathe and just to take that time. And especially with stress, it helps you relax some.
Do you ever like practice breathing in through the nose, out through the mouth?
Or? I do. I do it through spin class, which I teach, and sometimes through the boot camps and this Tabata boot camp that I do. It's like a high intensity 20 seconds on, 10 second rest, cycling high intensity workout. When we have that 10 second rest, it's not much, but it's just enough to just try to get your body under control, prepare yourself for the next interval, and you come out like a little bit stronger.
That's definitely not for a beginner, though.
I have beginners in there. And really? I tell you, this is the funniest class. It's so high intensity. But if you look at my class, I have a 75-year-old man. I have some women that are middle-aged women. I have younger kids. I have workout guys that are big into weightlifting. Everybody does it. And the ones that come to me and love it the most are the ladies that are older. They said they get so much energy and power from the HIIT workout that I'm always amazed. I'm like, you guys like this? This is hard. This is hard for me. But it's all, you control the intensity. So they just like to jump a little bit. They do the best they can. Some of them can't do jumping jacks, but they do, you know, they do modified jumping jacks. They just keep moving. It gets them pumped up.
You know, my mom just recently she went through some health issues, and she, you know, my mom's never exercised. You know, she walked the dog.
Yeah.
She never has gone, you know, I think Jane Fonda was around when
Love
she was
Jane.
A little, but you know, she didn't really do it much. She was never really cared.
And, yeah.
You know, at 81 years old, she now is having some trouble. And I said, you know, this is where you're going. She lost her license. She couldn't lift her leg. She was having all these problems. And I said, you're going to have to fight, Mom. You're going to have to fight for this one, or you're going to lose it. And she went to physical therapy, and she fought, and she got some strength. I mean, she could not get out of a chair. If she sat down in a chair, she could not stand back up. And now she can. And I'm so proud of her. And but this is the kind of thing, you know, we work out for looks, you know, for our body, for, you know, meeting people. But in the end, you just want to have a good life. You just, you know, you talk about flexibility.
Yeah.
I mean, you just got
to. It's so important to, and I believe that exercise and staying fit, whatever level you might be at, will really improve your quality and of life. So that when you get to that age, my mom's 80 now. My mom was just washing. We have like 20-foot ceilings, and she's up on a ladder washing the windows. She's so freaking fit. And I'm just like so proud, because I know I'm following some serious, and she kept me going as a kid. She took me with her.
Was she into fitness
when
she
God,
was young?
Oh, my God, for her whole life. Yeah, her whole life.
Wow.
She's like my inspiration. One quick story. I have a guy in my class. He's also my best friend. He's 75 years old. Total Sussex County guy. Walked into the gym 10 years ago when we first opened. And he had this earring. He's got long hair. Looks like ZZ Top, the main, whatever his name is, the head singer.
Yeah.
The long beard, all that. And he's like, I think I'd like to join this here gym. This year, gym. I mean, I fell for him right away. He's like my best buddy. Now he helps me. He's retired. He helps me at the gym. Recently he had a biking accident. He's riding 30, 40 miles a day on the trails, does my boot camp, does spinning, does everything. He just
is he, 60? What did you say?
75.
75, okay.
Yeah. Had a biking accident, broke his neck.
Oh, God.
Was lucky enough that C1 and 2 were fractured. He got up. He didn't know what happened, if that was that severe. Got on his bike with his buddy, kept riding 16 miles, felt a little bad, went home, took a couple muscle relaxers. Anyway, next day, they ended up flying him to Christiana Hospital.
Oh, geez.
He's recovering now, expected full recovery. He was very lucky because, you know, C1 and 2 stopped breathing, dead right away.
That's a top.
Yes, but because of his fitness, like he's been 2 weeks post-surgery. He's been released from the nurse's care, he can get up, he can squat, he can move around, because I believe that he's fit, and I feel super proud of him.
Well, look, I mean, it doesn't take many stories like that to realize that, yeah, taking care of yourself definitely benefits you in the end. You know, Christine's grandmother, GW, she's 96, and she started running marathons when she was 60.
Oh, my God, so cute.
And she says, Tom, I believe if it wasn't for those marathons and running like I did, I wouldn't be doing this well at this age.
God bless her.
And her only problem is her eyes.
96?
96. She's fine.
Wow. I tell you, those people, I'd love to meet some of these people and listen to their stories.
Yeah.
She'd be an awesome one to have on a podcast.
Well, and I always think that, you know, there's always, you know, and we talked about it in the beginning, you know, this generation, the kids' generation, you know, I always say that the guy that was, you know, the promoted cave wall drawing was like, that paper from the devil. You know, it's always, you know, we...
The rebels.
Yeah.
You have to be a rebel.
Well, and, you know, we're always, you know, critical of the things coming on. And back in our day, and, you know, it was always better. And, you know, it's tough. You have to just kind of let it go and enjoy what's going on and just let the kids of the future head into the future. And,
yeah.
And go through their own. One day we'll meet back as adults, and they'll be like, you know, oh, It's not as great as we thought. Or,
exactly.
Or maybe it will be better.
But they do need to experience, they need to experience life, and they need to experience, sometimes it's not that easy, you know. It took a lot of work to get, you know, where I am, where you are, where my, you know, just people, it takes work. And I want them, that's one thing I just want my kids to know, that doesn't come easy. For them, it's becoming a little easier, but I'd like them to struggle a little bit.
Yeah.
I let them struggle. Find their way.
Forget them at school sometimes.
Yeah, just leave them there. Let them walk home barefoot.
Oh, whoops, forgot. Better walk.
Yeah.
Glad you're working out.
Sorry, I'm busy.
So what's the plan for the... So what you talked about maybe... I mean, have you been at the gym for 10 years? Another 10? Two gyms? Three
gyms?
We'll see what happens. A franchise? What are you going to do?
I don't know. We'll see where the future... You know, I'm day by day. I'm going to definitely stay in Georgetown as long as we can have a great... the great support that we do now. So I love the Georgetown area. The people are wonderful. Like I go to, it's not easy. It's not everybody can say, and they go to work, they're happy, but I really enjoy it.
Yeah.
I do enjoy every day going to work. Sure. I like a break here and there, but I hope to be there for as long as I can.
Well, Matt used to say, if you do something you love, you'll never work a day in your life.
Exactly.
And it's funny, you know, cause I had this salon and I guess ideally perfect in a perfect world, I would have had a salon in Rehoboth, but you know, this is what I ended up with. And today I'm just so grateful that I'm out here because
I love it out here.
You know, people need services out here. People need gyms in Georgetown. You know, it's nice to have something, you know, providing a service to an area that isn't where we live.
I call it Flex World, your local gym, you know, and that's the spirit I like. You know, there's other gyms that are like commercial and there's a gym for everybody. You have to feel comfortable when you walk in. If you don't feel that nice vibe, that's, fits your personality, then I say there's always a gym, maybe another gym for you. But I like to create that kind of almost like Cheers episode where you walk in and it's like, hey, Norm, you know,
yeah.
And just like everybody's friendly and not judging. Like right. I don't judge. We don't judge. And we're just all people and we're all struggling.
So are you going to reach out to that other gym?
I am going to reach out.
What do you think about that idea?
I think it's great. I like the ideas you have with that. It is. It's true. Everybody is having their own struggles, and all you can do is, you know, reach out and try to help your neighbor, try to help somebody.
Well, and you know, the whole premise of this of the podcast was just one business helping another.
Yeah, networking and
networking, helping them out. You know, Matt used to always, you know, anybody that needed help, any restaurant, you know, just because he had a restaurant, he would help anybody.
Yeah, and that's.
And, you know, and I think when we do reach out to people like that, our competition, somebody that might be, you know, another gym.
A threat.
I think, you get on each other's side. And I think as two people helping one another become two better businesses
than
two businesses that are like,
yeah.
You don't want to go. You don't want to go to that gym.
Yeah, you don't want to have bad blood. And I think, it always comes back.
And people, I think, respect you more.
I think they do, too.
So that's exciting.
I hope everything goes well. And so come out to Georgetown. It's not that far away.
Well, I don't want to break any of your equipment. I'm feeling...
Oh, stop it.
Oh, maybe that was the donut I ate.
Yeah, I'll bring you the large sweatshirt.
Oh, why'd you have to do that?
Because you like it comfy and roomy.
I don't want to be a large. I want to be a medium.
You are a medium.
I bought these shirts at Walmart the other day, and they're like these... super light feathery like material. I'm like, oh my god, these are so great. And I put one on this morning. And I bought medium. They fit, but they're just fitting.
Yeah,
you know they're.
That's why I say you like it a little roomy. You're not like
frumpy.
Some people like everything tight.
Yeah, I'm not there.
No,
I don't like tight.
You like to feel comfy.
Frumpy.
Yeah, that's it's summertime.
It's
comfy time.
It's funny if I'd feel better without a shirt on than a shirt that's too tight.
Yeah. It's good that you wear a shirt while you're working, you know, for business. I think it's a better, it's more positive.
That's why I say I don't work out and get too focused on it, because if I get to a place where I really,
you're really
would like
comfortable,
to be, I'd be wearing a net.
You'll be naked.
Well, when I decided to be a hairdresser, I was talking to Drexel. He's like, go see Kevin and Jason over at John Lorraine.
John Lorraine, yeah.
And I go, okay. So I go over there, and Kevin and Jason were like freaking rock stars, man. Jason, I went in there, and Jason had a net shirt on. It was a net.
Yeah, I believe it.
I was like, oh, my God. And he had like these beautiful women coming in. I go, well, this isn't such a bad job.
This is inspiring.
Yeah, this is inspiring. And I always, you know, if it was Drexel and then Jason and Kevin were the main reasons I became hairdressers. And I still, you know, I love seeing Kevin. And unfortunately, Jason passed away.
Yeah,
but
that's unfortunate.
He was just like, he took it to the next level.
I used to go there and I had so much fun. And when I found out about Jason, I was really sad. I didn't keep in touch like that long after I left that salon. But Kevin has always been awesome, too. The two of them were like best buddies. And it was just like an experience when you went in there.
I went to Jason's funeral.
God bless.
Yeah, it was right down the street.
Yeah.
It was very sad. You know, his daughter was born like the day after he died. Or the day before. I don't know. But it was just, it was a horrible situation, you know, to have.
That's where you realize, you know, the petty things don't matter. And you just got to make your mark in this world. And I believe just help as many people as you can and enjoy it each day and breathe.
That's my philosophy. That's why I had you on here. You helped me today. I appreciate it.
It was awesome. It was fun. Right. I know it took a while to get me in here, but...
I had to trick you.
I know. And I loved it. It was a great experience. Thank you.
But I bet you'd come back.
I would.
All right. Heidi, thank you.
Thank you.
Go have a great day and be awesome.
You too.
Enjoy that beautiful haircut.
Oh, I know. I love it.
All right, dear. Bye-bye.
Bye.